Estoy buscando al gerente.
I'm looking for the manager.
¿Qué están buscando ustedes?
What are you looking for?
Estamos buscando la oficina de atención al cliente.
We're looking for the customer service office.
¿La puedes ayudar? Ella está buscando los aseos.
Can you help her? She's looking for the toilets.
¿Están buscando los cubiertos? Están allí.
Are they looking for the cutlery? It's over there.
No, estoy buscando los condimentos.
No, I'm looking for the condiments.
¿Qué tipo de condimento estás buscando?
What type of condiment are you looking for?
En verano, sigue disfrutando. Tu radio favorita te acompaña donde quiera que vayas. Vuelve a escucharnos en los podcasts. Este verano, sumérgete en Bauyan Radio.
Hello, everybody. How are you today? It is Tuesday. It's the second day of the week. It's Tuesday. We got a nice show today. Today, we're going to talk about Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix is on the show. Well, he's not on the show because he's dead. Jimi Hendrix died at the age of 27, but it was this day in 1967 when one of the strangest musical pairings, one of the oddest, right, most strange, más raro pairings in history came to an end as Jimi Hendrix dropped out as the opening act for the Monkees. Now, the Monkees were like a teenager band, teeny bopper. There's a word for you, teeny bopper, someone who's popular amongst the young people, teenagers. Like, you could say Justin Bieber is a teeny bopper artist, I suppose. A lot of young people like his music. Teeny bopper artist, the Monkees. And Jimi Hendrix said, no, I'm not playing with you anymore. You're not my style. And we'll talk a little bit about Jimi Hendrix and have a look at one of his most famous songs, Purple Haze, from the record Are You Experienced, 1967. We'll talk about that. We also have... it's Emoji Day, everybody. You know the emojis, the little smiley sonrisas and all that stuff? It's Emoji Day. Yeah, I know. I know you do. I know you love it. We'll talk about emojis. Why is today Emoji Day? I will tell you why in a few minutes. We have some expressions to look at. We've got some grammar. We've got pronunciation. Music. Oh, my gosh. What a show. What a show. Holy cow, it's going to be wonderful. Let's get things started. My name is Kyle Miller, and welcome to Drive Time.
Welcome to Drive Time with Kyle Miller.
Everybody, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for deciding to join us.
Buenas tardes.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Vaughan Radio. Somos los del inglés, right? Vaughan Radio, los de Vaughan. Aquí estamos. Yes, and we're going to work on your English today. We have lots to cover, right? We have lots to talk about on our Drive Time show today. And let's begin, as we always do, como siempre, right? As always, with a section for you at home called the Twitter Translation.
Twitter Translation.
Yeah, that's right. The Twitter Translation. I'm going to give you a sentence in Spanish. Okay, I say it in Spanish and then you say it in English. And I want you to write in. I want you to send it to me via, right, a través de, via, through, by Twitter. Okay, so if you want to participate, Tino, how can people find me on Twitter?
Tweet Kyle at I'm Kyle Miller. O lo que viene siendo IM Kyle Miller.
Yes, it's true. I'm Kyle Miller. And the sentence today, if you want to participate, write in. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? El teléfono estaba descolgado. El teléfono estaba descolgado. ¿Por qué? Pues no sé. Ni idea. Okay. El teléfono estaba descolgado. How do you say that in English? Now, there's a trick. Tiene su truco, ¿eh? No es nada fácil. There's a little, tiene algo, tiene algo. It has some little trick to it. So write in, tell me what it is in English, and we'll talk about it a little bit later because there is a, it's not a phrasal verb, kind of an expression. And we do have a lot of people writing in already. Many people with the right answer. But many people with the wrong answer. So tell me what it is. Write in. Tell me how to say that in English. We'll talk about it later. But Tino, let's go ahead and step into the warm-up gym.
The warm-up gym.
Oh, yeah. Here we are. In the warm-up gym, we're going to start with a few sentences. Here's the way we're going to do it today. Today we're going to do three sentences of nivel básico, okay? Three sentences of intermediate and four sentences of advanced.
Muy bonito, señor.
I know. Okay. So here we go with the beginner. These are the fairly easy ones. Number one, pero hay que saberlo, ¿eh? Y decirlo en voz alta. Number one. Este informe es aburrido. This report is boring. This report is boring. Now,
no me apetece.
No. No me apetece. Yo tampoco. Okay. Now, we don't say this report is bored. No, this report is boring. Es aburrido. It's boring. Right? This is the cause. It creates boredom. I get bored. I am bored by boring situations. I am bored by boring people. I am bored by boring things. So, este informe es aburrido. This report is boring. And notice I'm not saying these. These, no. This. And I'm not saying these. Estos. No, I'm saying this. Este, this, is the sound that does not exist in Spanish. This. This is better than these. This is better than these. This, these, this report is boring. That was number one. Number two, mi jefe está con su secretaria. My boss is with his secretary. My boss is with his secretary. ¿Dónde está? Pues está con su secretaria. He's with his secretary. Secretary. Number three, el calendario está en la pared. The calendar is on the wall. Okay. The calendar is on the wall. Very good. Okay. en la pared. We're not, it's not in the wall. It's on the wall. The calendar's on the wall. Okay. Now, like I said, we're going to go to the intermediate. Intermedio. Okay. Number four. Tengo mucha sed. Tengo mucha sed. Do you know how to say this one, Tino? How do you say it in English? I'm thirsty. Yeah, exactly. Pero mucha sed. I'm very thirsty. Exactly.
Y no tengo agua.
Y no tengo agua. Exactly. I'm very thirsty. Now, tengo sed. So we don't say I have thirst. No. We say I am thirsty. And we have a very special verb for calmar la sed, which is to quench. Quench. Qué raro ese verbo, ¿no? It's a verb that we only, well, more or less, only use with thirst. To quench your thirst. Calmar la sed. To quench. Q-U-E-N-C-H. I need to quench my thirst. Right? Tengo mucha sed. I'm very thirsty. Okay, number five. No he comido nada desde ayer. Es que no he comido nada, pero nada, desde ayer. I haven't eaten anything since yesterday. I haven't eaten anything since yesterday. No he comido nada desde ayer. Okay. Number six. Estoy cansado de ser pobre. I'm tired of being poor. Poor. Eso sí. Eso sí. Yes. I'm tired of being poor. I'm tired of being poor. Some people say poor. Poor, 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 poor. I'm tired of being poor. Okay. Number seven. Oh, boy. We have to go to the advanced. Vamos al nivel avanzado, ¿eh? Hay mucha crisis. Okay. Number seven. Number seven. Vale. Tú lo te estás... Sorry. Vale. Tú te lo estás buscando. Okay, you're asking for it.
A lo mejor tendrás también.
Bueno, bueno, bueno. Okay, you're... you're asking for it. Tú lo estás buscando, right? Tú te lo estás... You're asking for it. You could say you're looking for it, but I'd say it's more common. You're asking for it. You're asking for it. Okay, number eight. Búscalo en la guía telefónica. Look it up in the phone book. Búscalo en la guía telefónica. Look it up in the phone book. En la guía telefónica. Look it up in the phone book. Number nine. ¿Se sabe algo? ¿Se sabe algo? Any news? We don't say, is anything known? No. Any news? ¿Se sabe algo? Oye, ¿se sabe algo? Hey, any news? Any news? Okay. Number 10. Ooh. Number 10. Here's a good one. Este acuerdo es vinculante. Este acuerdo es vinculante. Qué palabra, ¿eh? This agreement is binding.
Chicos, eso es una nueva palabra.
It is. It is a new word. I know. It's a new word. Este acuerdo es vinculante. This agreement is binding. So to bind is like to also to stick together, right? Juntar las páginas, por ejemplo, to bind a book. So I have a book here. I have a book which is a which has a coil binding. Coil, it's like a spiral. Spiral binding. Coil binding. Made of metal wire that is going around and around and holds the book together. The binding, to bind, the verb to bind is like stick together. You could use glue to bind something together. You could use a binding coil or metal or something to bind, to stick together, like juntar, or, I don't know, attach or fix, fijar. But to be binding, for a contract to be binding is vinculante, like you heard. El contrato es vinculante, the contract is binding. Okay. All right, everybody, let's go ahead and take a look. I know you love expressions. Let's have a look at our expression of the day.
Expression of the day.
Oh, my gosh, what an exciting jingle that was, right? Expression of the day. Oh, yes. So our expression today, the way this works, I'm going to give you an expression. We're going to practice it. Once in a blue moon. We've done this one before. Do you remember this, Tino? Once in a blue moon, which means like raramente. I do it, but once in a blue moon. Like, how often do you ride, I don't know, roller coasters? ¿Con qué frecuencia subes a una montaña rusa? How often do you ride a roller, once in a blue moon? I mean, the last time I was on a roller, I was on a roller coaster about 3 years ago. To ride a roller coaster. But it's something I do once in a blue moon. Una luna azul. Because how often does the moon turn blue? Rarely. Right? So it means something happens very infrequently. Like I only see him once in a blue moon. I light off fireworks. Fuegos artificiales. Once in a blue moon. I do it sometimes, but once in a blue moon. You know, how often do you see bears? People often ask me, oh, you're from Canada. Do you ever see bears? Osos? When you're in Canada? And I say, yeah, but once in a blue moon. Muy de vez en cuando. Once in a blue moon. Now, de vez en cuando can be every once in a while. It can also be from time to time, which is the most popular translation in Spain of de vez en cuando. Once in, from time to time, because it's easy to say, right? But native English speakers prefer every once in a while. You know, I eat fish every once in a while. I eat it very often when I'm in restaurants, but I don't know. I don't often cook fish, but I do cook it every once in a while. I cook fish every once in a while, but I would say I cook trout, la trucha, once in a blue moon. Very rarely. So once in a while is more frequently than once in a blue moon. Right? So what's the origin of this expression? Apparently, a blue moon doesn't actually refer to the color of the moon. It refers to when we see a full moon twice in 1 month. When we see the full moon, la luna llena, right? The full moon. Twice in 1 month, it is called a blue moon, which happens once every 2 or 3 years. It's thought that the word blue may come from the now obsolete word bluey, which meant to betray, or the betrayer moon, which was an additional spring full moon that would mean people would have to fast for an extra month during Lent. Maybe that's the case, maybe not. Now, the saying in its present meaning was first recorded in use in 1821. What a weird statistic, right? When was the first time anyone said that? 1821. I don't know who keeps track of these things, but I looked it up on the internet. So it can't be wrong, right? Well, of course it could be wrong. But the expression, what's important for you, it doesn't matter the origin, but the what's important is for you to know what this means, because it is a good and very understood expression, right? Native English speakers all know this. Once in a blue moon. Well, folks, today is World Emoji Day. Emoji. If you use that term in Spanish, los emojis. No, you say that. Emojis. Everybody, today is World Emoji Day. That's kind of an interesting day. Why? Well, let's take a look at why, because it is today's trending topic.
Trending topics.
July 17th is famously displayed on the Apple calendar. When you bring up the little calendar sign and you pull up the calendar, if you have an iPhone, which I do not, but you pull it up, the sign for the calendar is July 17th. And for this reason, and I suppose this reason only, someone decided to call today Emoji Day. So it is a little, it's an emoji, which is like the little icon, the little sign that you can, you know, add in text messages or in WhatsApp messages, right? The emojis. So even if you're using a system with a different calendar emoji, that shouldn't stop you from the global celebration of emojis today, according to people that acknowledge this day. It's kind of strange. There seems to be a world day for everything, you know? But what's the history of these emojis? Well, in the beginning, there were what they called emoticons. Emoticons in the chat rooms of the 1990s. And they were primitive little gestures represented, just a little way to communicate, a fun way of communicating in chat rooms in the 1990s on the internet. But the first emoji was created in 1999 by a Japanese artist, Shigetaka Kurita. And he worked on the development team for iMode, which was an early mobile internet platform from Japanese mobile phone carrier called Docomo. And he wanted to design an attractive interface to convey information in a simple way. For example, an icon to show the weather forecast. Rather than spelling out cloudy, right? Nublado, cloudy. He would have a little sign, a little logo with a cloud. So 12 by 12 pixel images that could be selected from a keyboard-like grid. And that would show this. And so he created 176 emojis, which are now part of the permanent collection at the New York Museum of Modern Art. Kind of interesting. So for the first time, emojis offered a way to add emotional subtext to a message like, I understand. Or, like a heart sign or a question. You know, a person with an inquisitive look on their face. So things like this have been adopted. And the use of course, WhatsApp in Europe, to a lesser extent in North America. WhatsApp is not as common in North America as it is in Europe. But chatting with WhatsApp, of course, a lot of people, especially younger people, write with lots and lots of emojis. Since computers fundamentally work with numbers, every letter character you type on a computer is encoded or represented with numerical code. But they invented a structure called Unicode. And with Unicode, there were hundreds of different encoding systems, which meant different computers and servers didn't always represent text the same way. Unicode focused on standardizing these codes for languages so that the letters you typed in English, Chinese, or Arabic, or whatever, would appear accurately across different devices. Unicode accepted a proposal in 2010 to standardize these emojis that would work in any language across any platform. So it kind of became a, I guess, an efficient way of communicating. And they became too popular to ignore. And now emojis are almost like an official language among young people, you know, and regardless of what language you're talking, you can use these emojis to convey specific feelings, and they keep adding more and more all the time. I think just this year, even more emojis were added on most smartphones. So an interesting way to communicate your feelings with emojis, everybody. I don't use too many of them, but I do use them sometimes. Do you use emojis, Tino? Not too much. Tino does not use very many emojis. Anyway, it is Emoji Day, so we can celebrate with a few emojis, everybody. World Emoji Day today, July 17th. And there you go. That's our trending topic. People are talking about it. Oh, my gosh. We're out of time. But we'll be back. Don't worry. No te preocupes. Volvemos. We'll be back. We'll be back in just a couple minutes with the second half hour. We're going to talk about acronyms, some common acronyms like the EU or the CIA or FAQ, FDA. What do these common acronyms mean? We'll look at these in much more after the break. Also, the return of our history section, and we're going to look at some music from the great Jimi Hendrix. All that and more right after the break, so don't touch that dial.
Que tus hijos aprendan inglés de manera entretenida con una selección de películas que hemos realizado con la colaboración de 20 Century Fox. Una serie de películas para que tus hijos y tú podáis aprender inglés de manera divertida. Disfruta del inglés, del mejor cine en tu delegación más cercana o en baugantienda.com. Ahora por compras superiores a 30 euros, envío gratis.
Un líder solo sabe contar hasta uno. Para un líder, cada persona tiene valor. Para un manipulador, lo único que importa es lo que él va a obtener aprovechándose de la masa. Por resumirlo con una frase de Stalin, él decía que la muerte de 1 millón de personas es una anécdota histórica. Es un extraordinario ejemplo de manipulación, donde lo único que importa es su interés, y con mucho el interés de lo que se denominaba entonces la nomenclatura, el conjunto de personas cercanas al poder, mientras que lo que le sucediese a cada persona dependiente de ellos les traía absolutamente sin cuidado.
No siempre es fácil poner en marcha un nuevo proyecto, y menos aún alcanzar el éxito como líder de equipos. Si quieres descubrir las claves del éxito de la mano de Richard Vaughan y Javier Fernández Aguado, no te pierdas las 2 nuevas convocatorias del seminario Emprender y Liderar, las claves del éxito, el jueves 27 de septiembre o el jueves 25 de octubre de 16:30 a 20:30 horas en Áncora, Madrid, calle Trafalgar 6. Solicita más información en grupobaugan.com/seminario.
Dale un empujón a tu carrera profesional. Apúntate al Executive Master en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan. Aprenderás a negociar, a hacer presentaciones y a controlar cualquier situación profesional en inglés. Apúntate ya llamando al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupobaugan.com.
Síguenos en Twitter, @Vaughan-radio o @GrupoVaughan, y en facebook.com/GrupoVaughan.
Echo de menos esas clases por teléfono. Echo de menos esas tardes de clases en grupo. Echo de menos esas risas cuando nos equivocamos o pronunciamos mal. Echo de menos el repeat again, o el ask me, o el tell her to tell him to ask me. Sabes que me vas a echar de menos, que luego te arrepentirás. Entonces, ¿por qué me abandonas?
Este verano no abandones tu inglés, y es por eso que queremos ponértelo muy fácil, ofreciéndote grandes descuentos en los cursos y programas con el método Vaughan que más demanda tienen en verano. Entra en grupovaughan.com o llama al 911-335-831.
En el barco, puerto, Port, harbor.
Crucero.
Cruise.
Travesía.
Crossing.
Pasajero sin asiento.
Foot passenger.
Estar mareado.
To feel seasick.
Mar calmado.
Calm sea.
Mar agitado.
Rough sea.
Embarcar.
To board.
Desembarcar.
To disembark.
Navegar.
To sail.
Tripulación.
Crew.
Camarote.
Cabin.
Cubierta.
Deck.
Pasarela.
Gangway.
Flotador salvavidas.
Life belt.
Chaleco salvavidas.
Life jacket.
Bote salvavidas.
Lifeboat.
Descubre, aprende. Esto es Vaughan Radio. El 18 y 19 de julio, por la tarde, te esperamos en Bilbao en el taller gratuito para toda la familia. Infórmate en nuestra delegación de Bilbao.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Drive Time Show. You're listening to Vaughan Radio. My name is Kyle Miller. Thank you for listening. Thanks for tuning in. I know you have a lot of choices. I know you have a lot of things you can do with your time. You could listen to many other stations, and I appreciate that you have chosen to invest some time with us today in the Drive Time Show. We have a comment from Valentino, who writes in and he says, Kyle, using emojis to communicate efficiently, but not really effectively, since a lot of people have lost their communication ability just by overusing them. Their speech or discourse are often hackneyed. I'm not sure what that word means. Hackneyed. Affected? Reduced, maybe? Anyway, yeah. But people, it can, yeah, but you can get lazy, right? People get lazy with WhatsApp and with messaging, right? Messaging. And emojis can kind of promote that laziness. I do agree. Interesting comments. Speaking of Twitter, we have a lot of people writing in about our Twitter translation, which we had at the top of the show. El teléfono estaba descolgado. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? El teléfono estaba descolgado. People are writing in. For example, our friend Biriobi. Biriobi. The phone was off. The phone was off the hook. Yeah. The phone was off the hook. And that is a correct answer. The telephone or the phone was off the hook. Juanra has the same answer. Oh, no. Juanra says the phone was picked up. Pero cogerlo, cogido, that would be. But descolgado, the phone was off the hook, says Julian. And Julian writes in from Bogota, Colombia. He writes in and he says, Kyle, I'd say would be fine. The phone was off the hook. Regards from Bogota. Cool. There we go. Hey, woo.
Azuka.
There you go. For our Latin American friends, Dana says the phone was off the hook. And I agree, that's a good answer. Jesus, Javi, the phone was off the hook. Jesus says the phone was off hook, but we do need the article, the hook. Carme's got the right answer, so does. And Eduardo says, I picked up the phone, which is cogí el teléfono. Eso es otra cosa. The phone was off the hook, says Ruprim. Okay. Anyway, a lot of people writing in. And I thank you for your participation. Thanks for that. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for participating. Okay. We're going to push forward the way we always do. Let's see what people, let's see here. What are we going to do next? Where should we go? Oh, how about some vocabulary? How about this? This is something we do every day, vocabulary. Today we're going to explore the world of acronyms. Acronyms, right? An interesting topic, acronyms. We have, for example, the CIA. Now, we don't say the CIA. No, the CIA? No. The CIA, which, by the way, is the Central Intelligence Agency. Agency. The EEC, the European Economic Community. European Economic, so it stands for. I want to practice using this phrasal verb to stand for. Que significa? I talked about this yesterday. Que significa, which stands for. Now, ET, phone home. Extraterrestrial. So like you're out, extra, like outside of the terrestrial, like outside of this, from outside of this world. Extraterrestrial, ET. FBI, this stands for the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The FBI stands for, que significa, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. FCC. The FCC won't bother me because I need a little. Right, it wasn't that Eminem. Do you remember? Remember Eminem? No, the FCC won't bother me because I need a little bit. And I can't repeat much because the language is not good with Eminem's lyrics. But anyway, Federal Communications Commission. Federal Communications Commission. It stands for the Federal Communications Commission. FCO, Foreign and Commonwealth Office. Now, this is a British term. FDA, here you go. The Food and Drug Administration, the FDA. FYI, for your information. FYI, I'll be there tomorrow night. Come on out. FYI, for your information. So you can use this in emails, right? FYI, remember to bring an umbrella or whatever, right? FYI, for your information. FYI. Okay, there you go, folks. There it is. We should, yeah, we'll finish there. That was our vocabulary, looking at acronyms today. Today is an interesting day in history. I want to make sure that we have time for this. So let's go ahead and take a look at this day. I'm talking about July 17th, today in history.
Today in history.
Well, it was this day in 1955, everybody, 1955, that Disneyland opened up. Disneyland, Walt Disney's metropolis of nostalgia, fantasy, futurism, and more opened. It was July 17th, 1955. The $17 million theme park was built on 160 acres of former orange groves, right? Groves like Campos de Naranjos, an orange grove, we call like an apple grove, an orange grove, where you have a field full of some produce. We call it a grove very often in Anaheim, California. And it soon brought in huge profits. And today, Disneyland hosts more than 14 million visitors a year who spend close to $3 billion. It's a lot of money. Although that seems like a very small amount, what the setup cost, $17 million to build. It's very, very small, really, when you think of, well, in today's money, at least. So now, who was Walt Disney? Disney. We don't say Disney. We say Disney. He was born in Chicago in 1901. He worked as a commercial artist before setting up a small studio in Los Angeles to produce animated cartoons. In 1928, he had a short film called Steamboat Willie, which starred a character he called Mickey Mouse. And this would be a national sensation. It was the first animated film to use sound, and Disney provided the voice for Mickey himself. From there on, Disney cartoons were in heavy demand, but the company struggled financially because of Disney's insistence on over-improving artistic and technical quality. So he wanted to keep doing more and more to make it look better and better and better. So never saying, oh, that's good enough, let's put it on TV, or let's make the film. But no, he would keep insisting on spending as much money as possible to get the highest quality possible. His first feature-length cartoon, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, came out in 1938. It took 3 years to complete and was a great commercial success. Now, Snow White was followed by other feature-length classics for children, like Pinocchio, 1940, Dumbo in 41, and Bambi in 42. And they also had the film Fantasia in 1940, which coordinated animal segments from famous classical music pieces. It was an artistic and technical achievement. In the early 1950s, Walt Disney started designing a huge amusement park to be built near Los Angeles. He intended Disneyland to have educational as well as amusement value and to entertain adults and their children. Land was bought in the farming community of Anaheim, about 25 miles southeast of Los Angeles, and construction began. In 54, but in the summer of 55, special invitations were sent out for the opening of Disneyland, the opening day. The park was not ready for the public. Food and drink ran out, and women's high heel shoes got stuck in the wet asphalt on Main Street, USA. And too many passengers were on the ride, so they weren't ready for the crowds of people. But Disneyland recovered, and attractions like The Castle, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, and Snow White's Adventures, and all of these drew parents and children, and special events, and the continual building of new state-of-the-art attractions encouraged them to visit again and again. So people had reason to go back. They kept opening new rides, and people would say, oh, we'll go back. We'll go back again. In 1965, they started working on an even bigger Disney theme park and resort near Orlando, Florida. Walt Disney died in 1966, and Walt Disney World opened in his honor in October 1st, 1971. Epcot Center, Disney, MGM Studios, and Animal Kingdom were later added to Walt Disney World, and it remains Florida's premier tourist attraction. In 1983, Disneyland Tokyo opened in Japan. In 92, Disneyland Paris, or Euro Disney, opened. And the newest Disneyland in Hong Kong opened its doors in September of 2005. Disneyland Hong Kong. There you go. All right, let's jump forward to something very different. It was this day in 1967, and Jimi Hendrix dropped out as the opening act of the Monkees. He was the telonero, right? The opening act for a band called the Monkees. But it was an arrangement that was not, it just wasn't right. The Monkees, like I said at the start of the show, were basically a teeny bopper band. They played music for teenagers, this very poppy kind of music. Whereas Hendrix was a psychedelic rocker, and the Monkees were like a made-for-TV band, who were the idea of Hendrix's manager, a guy named Mike Jeffrey, who was looking for greater public exposure for a young client who was a rising star in the UK, but almost unknown in the United States. This was Jimi Hendrix. He was doing very well in the UK, but not that well in America yet. So he said, oh, we'll send him out with the Monkees. And it was in the UK, in fact, that Mike Naismith of the Monkees first heard a tape of Hendrix playing while at a dinner party with John Lennon and Paul McCartney and Eric Clapton. And Naismith and his fellow Monkees members became big fans of Jimi Hendrix. And they saw some of his legendary performance. In fact, his most legendary performance at the Monterey Pop Festival in June of 1967. And they encouraged their own manager to invite Jimi Hendrix to join their U.S. tour. Now, Hendrix appeared to have no direct input on the decision, but he went out on tour. And later on, talking about the Monkees, he said he didn't like their music at all. He said he hated their music. He says, you can't knock anybody for making it, but people like the Monkees. Jimmy joined the tour in progress in Jacksonville, Florida on July 8th. And Jimmy would go out on stage, turn on his amp, and play Purple Haze, and the kids in the audience would instantly drown him out with, we want Davey, we want Davey, and they're cheering for the Monkees. So it just was a terrible fit, and Jimi Hendrix managed to get through 7 dates with the Monkees, culminating in his final show on this day, July 17th, 1967, which may have ended with him saluting the crowd with his middle finger. He wasn't happy, so the crowd didn't really support Hendrix. It was just the wrong crowd, right? It was the wrong crowd. And so he sort of stormed off the stage, and that was the end. That was the end of his relationship with the Monkees. But, of course, Jimi Hendrix would go on to have a great but short career, right? But from that very same year, 1967, came the album Are You Experienced with the hit song Purple Haze. Let's take a quick look at this song in our music section. It's in the music.
It's in the music.
A classic from Jimi Hendrix, and he claimed that this song has nothing to do with drugs, but it might be hard to believe that they weren't at least an influence, as he was known to have been doing plenty of drugs at the time. But Jimi Hendrix says that the song was inspired by a dream where he was walking under the sea, and in the dream he said a purple haze, which is like a halo or like a surrounding of smoke or lack of clarity, a haze. Like if there's a lot of smoke in a room, you could say, oh, it's very hazy, like foggy almost, engulfed him, and he got lost, a traumatic experience. But he said in his dream, his faith in Jesus saved him in the dream, and he says that was the inspiration for the song. One of the guitars that were used, he is a device called an Octavia, which would raise or lower the guitar by a full octave. So he started to use a lot of guitar tricks on this. And in the studio as well, they used some unusual tricks to create the background track for that distant sound. They put a pair of headphones around a microphone. So they took a microphone, they put a pair of headphones around it and recorded it to get a sort of echo effect into the recording. And it contains also one of the most misheard lyrics ever with, excuse me, or as he says, excuse me while I kiss the sky. So he says, excuse me, but really he means, excuse me. Perdóname mientras beso el cielo. Excuse me while I kiss the sky. Right? But a lot of people hear it as, excuse me while I kiss this guy, mientras beso a este tío. But no, a lot of people think that's what he says. But no, he says, excuse me while I kiss the sky. Yeah. Anyway, a month before Jimi Hendrix died, he opened a recording studio in Greenwich Village called Electric Lady. One of the studios was known as Purple Haze, and it contained a purple mixing board, and the studios have remained active with bands like The Clash, Weezer, Patti Smith, and others recording there at some point. And it was the second last song that he played in his final concert on September 6th, 1970, just days before his death. So the second last song that he played. Let's take a look at the lyrics here. Purple Haze. Like I said, Purple Haze, like a cloud of distortion or smoke or steam could be haze. Purple Haze, all in my brain. Lately things, they don't seem the same. Acting funny, but I don't know why. Excuse me while I kiss the sky. Purple haze all around. I don't know if I'm coming up or down. Am I happy or in misery? Whatever it is, that girl put a spell on me. It's a spell like a witch, una bruja, would cast a spell, right? To put you under a spell, to put a spell on someone to make them become sort of mentally influenced by something. So that girl put a spell on me. Help me, help me. Oh, 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 ah, oh, oh, oh. Purple haze all in my eyes. I don't know if it's day or night. You got me blowing my mind. Is it tomorrow or just the end of time? Yeah, purple haze. Tell me, purple haze, I can't go on like this. You're making me blow my mind. So there you go. That is the song Purple Haze. And like I said, this one would be released in 1967. The record was Are You Experienced, about 3 years before Jimi Hendrix died. And the song charted at number 65 in the U.S. But like I said, Jimi Hendrix at the time was doing much better in the U.K., in the United Kingdom. And this one reached number 3 on the charts in the United Kingdom back in 1967. There you go. Purple Haze from Jimi Hendrix. All right. Let's move on, everybody. We have a couple minutes left in our show. Why don't we do another challenge? Otro reto. How about that? How about today's interrogative challenge?
Interrogative challenge.
All right, the interrogative challenge. I'm going to give you the answer to the question. Yo la respuesta y tú luego la pregunta. Oh, so ask me for the information that I stress. That I stress. Okay. Okay. Number one. It's 5 to 7. What time is it? What time is it? Number two, you can trust him for anything. What can you trust him for? What can you trust him for? Number three, I've gone over 2/3 of the report. How much of the report have you gone over? How much of the report have you gone over? Have you reviewed? Number three, you can learn English by studying every day. How can I learn English? Well, by studying every day. Number five, I smoked 20 cigarettes yesterday. How many cigarettes did you smoke yesterday? Number six, he quit smoking 2 months ago. When did he quit smoking? When did he quit smoking? Number seven, Michael Jordan is 2 meters, 6 centimeters. How tall is Michael Jordan? How tall is Michael Jordan? Number eight, she's looking at you. Who is she looking at? Who's she looking at? Number nine, I could have done it yesterday evening. When could you have done it? And finally, number 10. It costs $900 to fly to California. How much does it cost to fly to California? $900. It costs $900 to fly to California. Very good. Okay, well done. Well done. We are out of time for our drive time, for our 1 hour edition of the Drive Time Show today. But don't worry, I'm not going anywhere. In fact, I'm going to answer your questions. Si tienes preguntas, dudas, if you have any questions, you can write in. You can participate through Twitter, but also online with Inglés Online TVE. Join me on YouTube, and follow the channel Inglés Online TVE. I'll be there in about 4 minutes. We'll see you there. Bye bye.
Lo peor en la vida no es no cumplir todos los sueños, lo peor es no tener sueños que cumplir. Dicho de otro modo, si ponemos el listón muy alto, pues quizá no lleguemos a ese listón, pero podremos...